Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Welcome once again to Paranormal Investigator Radio. It's been another 2 weeks. This is Peter Leonard.
And I am special guest Alexander Zuski.
And this is Steve Roscoe.
I do promise someday Dr. Dave and Rich will be back. You are sorely missed. Without Rich, I mean, we would never have known about Pigman. And I actually want to talk about Pigman. But we're interested in your calls, so let me play a quick clip, give you the number to call in, and we'd love to take your questions.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Wow, we're starting to sound professional at this, huh?
I think we're getting pretty good at this, if you ask me, but that's just me.
We've had a busy week. This one coming up is going to be even busier. Oh, dear, huh? 'Tis the season. Be spooky.
Yes, it is.
Well, let me give a quick rundown. I mean, this Thursday coming up, we have a presentation at the Norwich Shenango Historical Society. It's free, open to the public at 7 p.m. Steve and I will be doing the So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter series. We've loaded that up with lots of new clips of evidence and probably the most paranormal clip you could ever imagine, Larry dancing.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not the dancing.
That in and of itself is just worth driving down there for.
Friday night, we'll be helping out Stacy Jones's group at Fort Ontario. They'll be hosting their annual Fort Ontario Ghost Walks. It was sold out last year. I think it's in danger of selling out again, which I hope it does.
Excellent.
And as usual, we'll be around doing something, helping out. That's always a good time. Alex is pretty good at scaring the ladies down there in the one tunnel.
Definitely. They wanted sound. They got sound. Make a sound, noise. Make a noise. And they got noise.
And I had to miss it.
Well, is that our fault? No. And then on Saturday, we'll be in Auburn, New York during the day for the Central New York Spooktacular put on by Empire State Paranormal Research. And we'll have our books available and just standing there looking like exciting guys.
Ooh,
or paranormal investigators.
But a little background music, huh? Set the tone for what Steve wants to talk about.
Well, I came across this magazine. A friend of mine gave it to me today. And did you know there's three types of paranormal investigator? And I want to see which one you guys fall under.
Hot, sexy, and scientific?
Well, no, that wouldn't be us, but...
Scared?
No, that's...
Terrified?
You're getting warmer.
Oh, okay.
You're getting warmer. Well, one of the types of paranormal investigator is the experimental investigator. That I think I fall under because I like to experiment with a lot of things, different ways of investigating. And I picked that one because I definitely don't fall under the other two categories of paranormal investigator. Matter of fact, I think Dr. Day falls under both of these. One is the technical investigator.
I think you're spot on there for Dr. Dave.
And the other one is the scientific investigator.
Oh, that's totally me. I'm Peter Venkman.
So now that you know the three types, which type do you two fall under? You already know which one I fall under or which I think I fall under. Go ahead.
What was the first one again?
The experimental.
What was the second?
Technical.
I'm definitely the first one. Definitely.
I seem to cross between the first and third, the experimental and scientific investigator, because with an engineering background, I look for validation, empirical data, and stuff like that. Oh my God, I'm starting to sound like Dr. Dave.
You see, I so don't look for any of that stuff when I investigate.
Well, that's the scientific part is what establishes the theories or validates theories and
absolutely
lets the experimenter press on. You know, they're the theorists, and the experimenter gets to play with it, see if the theory is correct or not.
Yeah, I think so.
And just to clarify, we're not playing with anybody's anything in the dark. Just... Well, we all know I'm not technical. We've seen that at this past week's presentation when I corrected one slide before the presentation and the whole PowerPoint thing would not work afterwards.
No, my understanding is one word on one slide.
Okay, it was one word. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. See, I always shy away from the scientific aspect lately, Steve, because that seems to be the new norm. Groups are all scientific. We're scientific-based. We're scientific-based. And I know I said this early on in the show, where I was asked at Gettysburg, this lady came right up to the table and asked me, are we a scientific group? And I'm like, we'd like to be, but we're not. And she sort of like wanted to argue, but she stopped back and said, what do you mean by that? I'm like, well, we use equipment that was developed to garner results, but they're not scientific, nor are the conditions we're investigating under. I said, so realistically, nobody is a scientific group. There was that one TV show that pretty much tried that. But
true. What we do, we don't do in a laboratory setting. Science involves laboratory settings, something double line studies, etc. You're right. You know, we use science. I'd like to differ that we do use science. We use different equipment, you know, like EMF readers, you know, the scientific principle.
Methodology on how to do things, absolutely. Could you imagine that if we could actually make ghosts in a laboratory? Do you know how rich we would be?
Oh,
just in revenge
great.
Sales alone.
Oh, that revenge.
My boyfriend broke up with me. We can help you right out.
Oh, there you go.
Would you like extra demon with that?
Would you like a red bed sheet or a white bed sheet ghost?
Oh, that would be great. We wouldn't have to worry about making ends meet, would we?
Oh, no. No, no.
No. But that is one thing. I mean, any group should probably be a combination of all three. I mean, I think we pretty much got that covered. We have people like Dr. Dave, Alex, Mark. They're pretty smart with the tech stuff. You have dummies like me that are pretty much good for researching and falling downstairs.
I'm with you on that, and getting bats caught in your mouth. But
do you know how long it took me to put the batteries in the right way in that Tascam audio recorder? There's only two ways they can go in.
I watched you do it. Yeah, I know.
For those of you who haven't heard me swear,
I think everybody has heard you swear, Pete.
I'm Italian. I can't help it.
Oh, absolutely.
Once a couple, two, three words come out, it's all downhill from there. But the one kind of group that Stevie didn't mention is the tough guys. The guys that want to beat the poop out of you because they just don't like you.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean? We're tough. I got better ghost pitcher than you do. Look at my orb.
Or how about the tough guys that think they're tough guys before the investigation and then go screaming like little girls during the investigation?
Let me tell you, folks, Steve has seen stuff that'll turn things green.
Absolutely.
And that too seems to be on the rise again. The groups that feel necessary that they have to threaten other groups or move in. We had that problem a few times.
Oh, absolutely.
But you just learn to deal with it and move on. It's what they call the paranormal drama. If you're on Facebook and you belong to many other groups' pages, I'm sure that's what you see nonstop. It was about all the drama. He said, she said,
oh,
I can't
yes.
believe this. I can't believe... Are we here to help people?
That's exactly right.
That's our primary focus, is helping.
I mean, absolutely. I think I stunned the one man in the audience when I made that comment on Saturday when I said, well, I don't really need to see anything. I already believe in it. I have a lifetime of belief based on what I've experienced.
And the look on his face was just like, really? Really? So there are a lot of categories that you fit into other than these three. I think, like we talked about, the know-it-all, the tough guy, and so on.
The certified ghost hunter who's been schooled by TV shows.
Oh, yes.
Who's fully insured and offers a 10% discount on the consultation.
That brings me to the other thing that I wanted to bring up. The other subject I wanted to bring up is groups that like to charge, or unscrupulous groups that are out there. And let's face it, with all the groups on TV, with everything going on TV, you're not only going to get the groups that just want to help people, like we do, but you're also going to get the groups that like to just say, you know, we'll come to your house for such and such a price, and if we find anything, it's going to be this price. If you want us to get rid of it, it's going to be that price.
That's just pathetic that people do that. They prey on people's hardships. It's disappointing to see that.
Their fears. You got to remember, it takes a lot for somebody to call a stranger and say to them, I have a ghost in my house, or what they think is a ghost, or whatever's going on in their house. They're calling people they don't know.
Right, and the first thing out of their mouth usually is, I think I may be crazy, or can you tell me if I'm going crazy?
Absolutely.
And you know how I always answer that. Crazy? We've got thousands of dollars of equipment. I think we have you beat on that avenue.
And that's true. How can you get any crazier? And a lot of people tell me, I have a friend from high school that keeps telling me, you know, Roscoe, you're crazy going to look for this stuff. And I says, it's not the fact that we're going to look for this stuff. It's the fact that we're trying to help people that think they have something in their home.
And when we go with these investigations, not always do we find something. Find a natural cause as opposed to a paranormal event occurring in their home. But again, the other groups, it's amazing. The ones that charge, they always find something that is evil, demonic, terrifying.
That brings me up to another subject of groups that go into homes and scare the client to death.
That's because they learned it on television.
We've run across a couple like that.
Now, Steve, Alex, and I mean, Rich, David, we've been, everybody on the team pretty much, we've all been into someone's house trying to help them. But we usually know by the time we leave there that we're coming back 2, 3, 10, 12 times. It's not about evidence. I know everybody wants to see the evidence. How many times? I know these guys ad nauseum with me. I say to the family, what do you want from us? And I don't mean it like, well, what do you want? It's like, why do you call us? What do you want from us? Do you want to be comfortable in your house? Do you want validation? We don't remove things, because then that stuff follows me home, and I don't want to deal with that later
no,
on.
No, we don't need that.
And we're not the experts at removal, so we refer them to the experts.
The other thing that's burning my britches, and I got big britches, those big size 74 britches. I peruse the social media pages, and I've been seeing a lot of groups now showing the pictures, the front of people's houses. We're here tonight. We're investigating here tonight. Why are you doing that? That's like the first cardinal rule of breaking someone's trust.
Confidentiality.
Confidentiality is very important. You don't show.
Might as well publish their name and address.
Exactly, because if you notice in a lot of those pictures, you can see the address. You can see the number of the house on the. But what we pride ourselves in is complete confidentiality. Even if you said it's okay for you to do this and post this and tell them where we live, we won't do it. Because you don't need no crazy person, do I want to say, knocking on your door a week later saying, oh my God, this is the house I seen on Facebook. Your house is haunted.
Can I come in and see your ghost?
And that leads to another subject that...
Can we tackle that when we come back, Steve?
Yes, we can.
Let's give them the telephone number to call in. We're here to take your calls.
BDSradio.com.
So we're back with Steve, and we didn't have a phone number on that clip. It's not labeled right.
And whose fault is that?
Our technical expert, Peter Leonard. Oh, sorry. That's
see? The one that messes up things on, yeah.
Hey, I've told you I wouldn't trust myself to sit the right way on a toilet seat.
Well, here's the thing. Complete confidentiality is very important what we do because we don't want you, as a homeowner, to deal with any crazies that want to come to your home.
There's enough of them out there.
Definitely.
Well, the other thing, it's not necessarily just the crazies, but if there is nothing going on in the house, you don't want to place a false stigma on somebody's house. And that person tries to sell the house someday, you know, like, oh, the house is haunted. We saw it on TV. I'm not going to give you your price.
Do you remember a few years back, Steve? I think you had just come on the team. We got that frantic phone call from a family. We need you out here right away. I won't say any more about the house than that. We called them back. We were set to go. Made the phone call to confirm the appointment. Never heard back from them. Never heard back from them. Well, the investigation that I did on the house showed that there was a murder there 3 or 4 years earlier. It was a massive murder-suicide kind of setup. There's the perfect example of if we showed pictures of that house, we don't know what's in there. There was obviously some major trauma a few years beforehand, and we assume that it was actually so bad the family just left. They moved because we never heard back from them. And that was one of the... One of the few cases I would have actually liked to have been in on, just to test it out, because we knew who the victims were in the mm-hmm. family. I mean, not personally, but through the newspapers, mm-hmm. we knew what happened.
We had names, et cetera. So.
There's been a couple cases like that since I've joined the team. Alex and I were involved in one that the lady called back. And, you know, I think what it is they get so far into what you have to do to have an investigation. Because let's face it, you call us, we come out, and we do a consultation.
And you better cook for us. No.
And and we do some baseline readings of your home. Whether it's Alex and I and Pete, or just Alex and me, or just Pete and me, we do some baseline readings of your home just to get a feel for your home and see what the readings are normal in your home. And I think a lot of people, after that initial consultation, they get a little antsy, a little, oh my God, am I doing the right thing? I think a lot of people get cold feet after the initial consultation. I really do.
We had that one person that called us back and just declined the further investigation because they're
yes.
afraid of antagonizing what was there.
Or yeah. they call me back and they say, Steve, my home is quiet. It's been quiet since you were here for the initial consultation. I don't want to disturb whatever it is. In fear of having more activity in my home. That's when I just tell them, you know, that's fine. If you have any more problems, you know where to reach me.
And while we're there to help them. We're not there to scare them. So
absolutely.
That helps them that we at least gave them that much information.
I think so. But I enjoy it. I enjoy meeting different people. I think it's
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the online paranormal news here. There's just the headline caught my fancy. Paranormal song warrior reveals conspiracy theories through song. Andy has tinfoil on his head.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even opening that one.
No.
Not to get off topic, but I'm sure everybody has seen those RIDF blocking wallets.
Yes.
I've seen how to make your own RIDF, those radio frequencies.
You mean this one?
Wait a minute. For free.
It was only $9.99.
My bank gave me a little envelope that's RIFD resistant.
Aluminum foil will block the RIDF.
All the things we have to worry about now, you know? Well, in my case, there's really not much they can steal. Paranormal investigators aren't rich. We spend all our money on
equipment. And travel.
Well, here's another. Psychic accused of planting a fake spirit during ghost tour. What, do you carry one in your back pocket?
Poof, here you go.
Oh, wait, I put the wrong one out. Just a minute. Let me fix that.
It's not Anti-M.
So now I found the clip. Let's go with the call-in number. We're here to help.
Call toll free. 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
That was actually Dr. Dave. He wasn't feeling that good that day when he made that clip. Oh, boy. I tell you, I'm full of beans tonight.
What do you think, you gentlemen across the table, what do you think is the most haunted or paranormally... See, I don't like using the word haunted. Active place here in our area.
I'd have to say my bathroom, because every time I go in there, crap happens.
No, there you go.
Oh, you got them going now.
If anybody's listening out there and would like to give us a call on what you think is the most paranormally active area in the place in the area, give us a call.
All right. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to call it out. I saw it on social media the other day, and it really upset me. Again, on a radio station website, labeling a local school haunted.
I think I've seen that one, but I'm not sure.
I don't like that.
What grades? I mean, you're talking
about... It was a high school. But
yeah.
You have to... No. It was a different school. Oh, we're having a private conversation. I'm sorry. We'll be right... No. No, basically, they didn't provide any stories. It was just based on the same crap that's reiterated and regurgitated off of the internet.
Urban legends type of stuff.
To me, that's actually it's inflicting our beliefs on everyone in that school. Some people probably hold specific religious beliefs. They don't believe in the paranormal, or they're atheist, or whatever. I mean, it should be free for everyone to make up their mind. I thought that's what school was originally about, not to have the stigma placed over the building now that I'm in a haunted building. Now, what if that freaks some kid out and they never want to go back in that building?
You're influencing young people to believe. You're terrorizing them. You know, kids that age are impressionable, the teenagers.
I mean, I understand it's Halloween, it's that time of year. We all want to hear the ghost stories, the spooky stories. I think all three of us have been touched on investigations, right,
yes,
Bice?
Yes.
It's not a good feeling to me. I don't know about you, gentlemen.
No.
We're trained to handle that. I know that sounds funny, too. We're trained experts. But if that really happens to someone in a school that's not prepared for this, or you're going to get the other half, the immature people, touch me, punch me, scratch me, do the... I just don't like the can that it opened up.
Absolutely. You hit it right there. It opens up bad experiences. It's inviting stuff, something to happen to them, and that's not appropriate. That's very dangerous.
You want to be very careful in what you do. You don't want to ever say, touch me, poke me, shove me, because I think it was my second investigation I've ever done. It was a private home, and I was grabbed, and Pete went in the doorway before me, and he turned around. And he says, what the heck happened? And I said, I almost ended up on my butt.
Last weekend, you remember we did that presentation with the joint investigation afterwards. I was poked, and it was sore for 2 days.
Yep.
I didn't tell the people at the time what was going on because I don't want to frighten the guests. But it is definitely not a pleasant thing when you have a physical encounter with something that's unknown and unseen.
They say we should protest. I might put it all over our page and pout.
Hey, we're good at pouting.
But you'll have those other groups going, oh yeah, well I was shoved. No, I was probed.
To be honest with you, there's a couple of them I hope they do get probed. Oh dear, Steve, I wish you could see this picture. We just pulled up one alien head dug up in graveyard.
Knobby chunk. Unidentified God knows what about a meter below the surface.
That was found in Poland. I don't know. Maybe I could swing it around.
Maybe not.
Maybe.
I think that goes a long way in saying that a lot of people also, by posting this on the internet and maybe even some groups, that they're just out after some attention.
True. I think you encounter that group of people out there. You even have clients that look for that attention, but you can't just dismiss them. If they're seeking attention, and maybe they have a real fear, but you just can't arbitrarily dismiss them. You have to investigate thoroughly and make that determination and just tell them what you find. Let them make their own decision based on the evidence that you find or do not find.
Do you know why you can't find evidence, you other groups? Because you can't hear it over your own awesomeness. Sometimes you have to just step back and let it happen, and you'll be surprised what you have on your recorders.
We were this last presentation investigation that we did, we were given a couple of very, very, very nice compliments by a couple people, and if you're listening, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
One gentleman pulled me aside, and I think you were there, Alex, and he says that you guys are really, you know what you're doing, and you know,
yes,
you actually got evidence, and that's because we're patient. We can sit in an area for, oh, God knows how long. And we're used to amusing ourselves, as you can tell.
Yeah. I sit in the bathroom and laugh at myself. Actually, that didn't sound good. Let me rephrase that.
You just brought something to my mind. Not you, Pete, but Steve.
I would hope so.
Well, that's an image. The evidence that we present at these presentations or public events that we do. One thing I've noticed, I've sat through several different our presentations, other group presentations, and what strikes me is what the presenters do for us is they'll present a piece of evidence without telling you, for example, if it's audio evidence, what is said, visual evidence, what is to be seen. They let the audience sit there, look or listen, and to make their own determination. Afterwards, we'll reveal and say, this is what we think it said. What do you think it said? Or we say, yes, that's what we heard. But I've been to other events where they present a piece of evidence. For example, they use a spirit box, and you hear the That said, that's Uncle Fred, and he's happy to be on the other side.
I mean, a lot of that comes from us infighting in a good way. When we do the evidence review, we pull out everything that seems interesting. Then when we have our group meeting, we play it for everyone. And the same way as Alex says, we don't taint it or, like, listen to it. Mm-hmm. Of course, some people get excited and a little zealous and scream it right out. You want to slap them with a,
oh, yes,
a rolled-up newspaper. But for the most part, if you're seeing it at one of our presentations, you can guarantee we've probably spent over an hour ourselves arguing about it, whether or not we should show it or play it, or that it's just a weird, random piece of evidence. We're not saying that everything we show or anything at all is paranormal. We leave that up to the person going there.
It's an anomaly that we picked up that we don't know what it was.
What I like is no matter what we put out in evidence during a presentation is you'll get two or three people getting different things.
So I guess we have a call from Lisa. Hello, Lisa, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Lisa. How are you this evening? Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to know that if you have non-believers with you, does that affect the outcome to your investigation one way or another?
I would have to say yes. There's a few people we have on our own team that I don't want to call them non-believers. I think it's a matter of being afraid and that they put up some type of personal defense that actually stops paranormal activity from happening. We've experienced that where things are very active, then certain people will come and it all stops for the rest of the night. I mean, literally shuts down whatever's there.
Right. In a recent investigation, we were sitting, it was Pete, myself, and Steve, and we had our K2 meters, lights were going off, we had activity, just response to questions. Another group member walked up and everything just died. Literally, the light was green. It was just dead calm. Oh, pardon me. Can't say dead.
No pun intended.
But it was just totally calm. So, yes, it seems like it's the fear is causing him an insulation, some kind of barriers presented.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just like you guys. I try to follow you. So thank you for answering that.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye, thank Lisa. You.
I guess that brings up another point before both of you were on the team. We had a diehard atheist in the original crew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was actually a time we were investigating a church where this individual sat in the church and started taunting God. Now, whether that's real or not, I mean, we're not going to get into that now, but we're sitting there watching it on the monitor as it got pitch black all around him. Now we're talking about the room that's completely illuminated in IR lights is getting darker and darker in front of us. And then like the snap of a finger, it lit right back up.
You know, I you said, we're not going to get into the talk about God, but during an investigation, kind of teasing God or whatever it is out there might not be a good idea.
Never tempt fate.
That's
don't
right.
Taunt. I've seen people taunting or trying to make fun of stuff. You have an excellent presentation on that. People are laughing during a seance.
Yes, yes. And actually calling things, that's another bad thing.
And oof. But you can't, it's not funny. It's not a joke. This is pretty serious stuff sometimes. Not when we do it. It seems like we're always laughing about it.
Yeah.
But in the field, it is pretty serious and pretty dangerous. You
yes,
don't
it is.
Know. I don't want to use the term, but I'll use it. You conjure up something through your ignorance or through frivolity.
There's actually been a few, and I'll tell you this as a seasoned investigator. I mean, there have been a few places that have literally scared the dickens out of me. And I have no desire to ever go back in there. And then you talk to other team members, and they had no
nothing.
Experiences
yeah.
at all there.
I've even asked a certain team member during investigations. I've said, do you feel anything? Do you see anything? And they've said, no, absolutely not.
I mean, it's all a matter of, like I said earlier, just sit back, watch it happen. It's happening. It's happening right now.
The scientists at Shell have created Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline.
Excuse us. Our
technical
expert.
I had a little gas. I was opening one of those articles. I didn't know it was loaded. For example, we went to that one house, and we had the Frank's box running. I started getting the creepo feelings. I'm like, there's definitely something here. You can feel the temperature changing. I'm starting to get the chills, the pain up the spine. Then I ask on the Frank's box, where are you standing? Right. And that's exactly where I was feeling it. Literally right behind me, off to my right side. That's usually not a comforting feeling either. That's actually something there that's communicating with you, letting you know I'm here.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember that one investigation where we were sitting there again doing the Frank's box session, and we were asking for its name, and it told us its name. Then we asked who else is present. It named you, Steve, first and last name. You, Pete, first and last name. And then named me, first and last name. You know, with my long Polish last name.
And when it, you know, and when like, it says your last name, you know something is amiss.
Strange.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, talk absolutely. About the creep factor. It's like, oh, I don't like it here anymore. I just don't like it. It knows me.
I can't even say your last name. How's it pronounced?
Just like it's spelled, Andrzejewski.
You heard it here first.
And when you get something that actually says that, well, you know.
Well, it's just a lot of UFO stuff online again.
You know, a lot of people are seeing UFOs for some reason as of late, and I don't know why. I've never seen a UFO.
I've never either.
Seattle attorney says he traveled through time to the night before the Titanic.
Oh, boy. Oh yes.
Wait, I just combined two different headlines.
That's
there
what I'm
you
laughing.
Go that's
traveled
that's
through
good.
Time the night Lincoln died.
Yeah, that's a
yeah, it seems UFO spotting seemed to come in spurts.
How about this?
I don't know why that is.
The tougher, I think it has a lot to do in a lot. I've heard this before. A lot of these UFOs or what have you, ghosts or UFOs mostly, that the tougher the economic times are, the more people see these things. I don't know if it's a way to forget their problems for a while. I don't know.
It could be. It could be.
Spiritualism, religion, activities pick up too during times of depression. Because
I think so.
It's just a sign of hope.
Yeah.
I think so.
You're looking for something, some bright light in the future.
Hoping that the aliens are going to bring a better society. We're all going to live in peace. Everything's going to be harmony. There's going to be no illness. Hey, everybody has their own dream of hope.
That's
true,
right.
True.
It's like Chicken George and Roots said, once you take away your hopes, a man has nothing else.
That's right.
Just don't take away my hope, pig man.
If anybody ever tries to take a chocolate cake away from me, you're going to find out about hope. It'll be the one thing you... Ooh. Pig man.
But Pete, you're not supposed to have chocolate.
Oh, chocolate.
And I know Vinny would kill me over the UFO stuff, but I've been sick with the flu for the past week and getting better. I watched a lot of these old reruns on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I won't say what network it was. I watched this show titled something Aliens, Angels, Demons. Within 3 minutes, they had this guy showing pictures that he'd taken in the woods with, guess what, orbs.
Orbs.
It's like, I'm not really watching a documentary that they've spent probably $100,000 making to show me orbs. And the fact is, every time the camera moved, so did the orb.
Why, what a coincidence that is.
But the guy they were interviewing was emphatic. He just wouldn't give up about it. He's like, they happen all the time. every time I come here to film. And it's like, you wonder why nobody takes the field serious. It's all about credibility. That's same right. with us. Mm-hmm. I'm sure my laughing all the time doesn't do us any good with credibility, but
that's one of my pet peeves. Orbs. I've never seen a real orb. I'm not going to say they don't exist. Just like UFOs, I've never seen a UFO. But I'm not going to say, you know, I don't think those really exist. I can't say that. I've never seen one, but I'm not ready to say they don't exist. Like Bigfoot. I've never seen Bigfoot.
Looking at the orbs, people always... That's where TV comes in. TV has made a big deal on the orbs. You know, you watch different shows and they show... He just got, this individual got scratched, and we saw this orb fly in his back. Okay. When you look at the footage, we set up 16 cameras during our investigations. Every single camera has orbs on it. It looks like a snowstorm. It's all the dust particles. There's bugs flying around. I don't care how clean your house is. There is dust in your house, and that's what you see on the camera. They're not orbs.
I have people that...
I'm not discounting that orbs exist.
Oh, no, of course
we do,
not.
We do have a member, Peter, who saw an orb
right
in life, but in without the use of a camera. But go ahead.
I have random people coming up to me, especially after they find out what I do. They say, I've got to show you this picture. You've got to see this. Oh, my God, look at all these orbs. And then they show me this picture, and you can see a bunch of little balls. What do you think this is? Isn't this great? I usually just tell them as polite as I can. You know, today's cameras are really, really fine-tuned to the point where you're going to see what you have in your picture a lot. What you're actually seeing is not orbs, but you're seeing dust. And you can tell... If they really thought they were orbs, because when I tell them this, they look at me like, oh, man, you just ruined it for me.
But I give them credit that they're willing to listen to you, that you told them that, they understood, like, oh, okay, now we understand.
See, that's a double-edged sword, and you probably get mad at me for saying this, and I shouldn't admit stuff like this on the radio. But I was in the hospital one time picking somebody up who had minor surgery. And we got talking with the nurse, and the nurse started talking about this. Out comes the cell phone with the pictures. Bought one of her parents that just recently died, and she took the pictures in her house. And she's like, I think this is my, I believe it was dad at the time. She's like, this is my dad. See the orb floating through the house? And it's at points like that, you know, there's the paranormal investigator in you that just wants to say, it's not real, it's dust.
But
I just took the high road. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, it just shows you he's watching out for you and still around for you. I mean, I could have ruined her year right there if I wanted to, but that's not me. I mean, that's...
You did the right thing.
That goes along with like Alex just said, compassion. You know, somebody lost their father, and I can empathize, and we all can empathize with what this woman was saying. Is if they're seeing, oh, that's my dad, he's here to make sure we're okay, you're not going to want to blurt out, it's just dust, lady, move on. You don't do that.
But then on the other hand, do we really know what it is at that point? Maybe no. It is something, it has meaning for that individual at that point.
Yes.
And I'll leave it
you
right
just
there.
You just don't want to go into that with them at this time.
Well, if you catch me in the wrong mood, you might.
Oh, yeah.
No, it all goes back to helping people.
Exactly.
She was showing me, because I was a paranormal investigator, someone she trusted to give her the advice she needed. And that was the advice I felt she needed. Right or wrong, scientific, technological, whatever, but that was what she needed to hear.
Right.
And that's what we're here for.
That's right.
Not blowing smoke up people's woo-has, but I mean that's...
But the loss of a loved one is a little different than somebody coming up to you and saying, look at this picture. Isn't this wonderful? I got all these orbs in it. It's dust.
True. speaking of loss, losing loved ones, it sometimes gets disconcerting during investigation. For example, we were at one undisclosed location, we're doing a Frank Spot session. Oh, it was the time when it named all three of us by name. Mm-hmm. And it gets disconcerting when you think you recognize a voice. The voice I heard was sound like my father. I mean, the same intonation, the same inflections and all that. Was it him? I don't know. It was very comforting to know that it sounded like him.
I haven't run across that as of yet, but I know what you're saying, and you don't know what it is.
No,
you don't. Is it your imagination?
Is it a desire to hear it? Or?
Exactly, exactly.
No, you know that I've heard my mom at least twice on Frank's Box occasions. And, and like Steve's saying, is it something we want to hear? Are they reaching out? I don't know. I mean, it's definitely shocking because I forgot who was with me when we were at the Capitol Theater was actually the first time that hit me. And I just sat right down. I'm like, all right.
I think it was
same tone, same voice. Yeah. I mean, I'd know it anywhere. Auditory hallucination, maybe.
Maybe you don't.
But I wasn't
know.
Thinking of her, so it's
no,
not
it's
like
right out of the blue. It you put the two and two together at that point. You know, you heard the voice. Like, me, it wasn't a realization for a while. I was like, you know, that sound like. You know.
So no joking around, Mom and Dad. If you're out there, please drop 15 1 ounce gold coins out of the sky tonight in the bedroom.
Just 1 ounce.
1 ounce is enough. 1 ounce is enough.
Do you know what that is now? It's like $1,200, $1,300 an ounce. It's fabulous. I could go to Vegas with that.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. You hear us joking around. We use humor to diffuse the tension. You know, William, during an investigation, sometimes we'll make these jokes and these comments. We don't do it to belittle what we do or make fun of the homeowner or just to be silly people. We use it to diffuse the tension because investigating, when you're sitting there in the dark, you can't see who's on your left, who's on your right, and you're on edge, you're waiting. You want to hear something. You want to see something. And then you're going, oh, God, I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to see it because I'm going to scream like a little girl. It becomes tenseful, and that's why we joke around. You know, we'll tease each other and stuff, but...
Unfortunately, you guys haven't experienced it yet, as far as I know, but there's nothing worse than a homeowner actually crying on you.
Well, a lot of times when we go into a home, we it depends on the situation, of course. We're not always joking. But when we go into a home, there could be a lot of tension in that home, especially if there are children in there. And they're really worried about their children. And that's one of our biggest things. We could have a caseload, and like we do right now, and if a child is involved, we move that quickly to the front of the line so we can get in there and find out what is there and if it's any danger to this child.
And the other common theme, I know you've both seen it, are always the husband and wife fighting. The husband never sees anything.
Yeah.
It's always the wife and the children. They see the husband never, and who's the first one to see something when we do an investigation?
The husband.
Yep.
But I've also been, not too long after I joined, I went with on a consultation before I was the case manager with a pair of investigators, and the husband and wife were actually saying to each other, no, this is what I'm seeing. You're not seeing that. I'm seeing that. And they actually argue on what they're seeing. And I find it amazing. I'm sitting there just watching them argue about it.
That was a good one, though. I don't mean, here I am laughing. We're laughing.
We ended up not doing an investigation there. But it was very educational to witness that.
There was the very bizarre one that I won't give too many details away because of food involved, but there was the one we went to in the winter where only the child was seeing something, only to be told later on at night that the husband was seeing something.
Yes.
Which was a lot worse than what the kid was experiencing.
Yes.
That is one I wish we were actually able to go back to, but
They haven't called us back. Yeah.
No,
they haven't called us back. That's the thing. Sometimes we go on an investigation, and they'll call us back, and we're more than happy to go back because I like to keep track of people who we investigate, their homes, and they haven't called us back. And a lot of times they do call us back, but on the other shoe now, there are times we go there once, we do the reveal, we tell them, here's the evidence. You make up your mind on what you're hearing and what you're seeing, and we never hear them from them again.
So we're at the 5-minute mark. You guys just talk my ear off. talk. So I guess we should talk about our final presentigation for the year, which is coming up on October 25th in Gloversville. The Old Fulton Museum, Fulton County Museum. It's a benefit for the Historic Society. The last I've heard are the actual investigation tickets are sold out. Damn, we're good. But there are still a handful left of the presentation tickets, which are $5 each. Please, if you live in that area, think about it. You're helping a worthwhile cause raise some money. Plus, you're going to... Those who already bought a ticket, you're going to get to investigate with us.
Oh, yeah.
And since we've never investigated it, it's going to be our first chance. Mm-hmm. So, Lordy knows what we're going to find. And I hear there's a lot of activity there.
Quite an evening set. What else do we have going on, Pete?
Well, again, this week, Thursday at Norwich, 7 p.m., the Shenango County Historical Society will be doing So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter lecture with Steve Roscoe.
Yes, actually, it's my very first presentation that I'll be doing with Mr. Pete here. And
I think you'll be doing a good job.
I hope so.
You think we're crazy here. You should show up for a presentation. Again, Friday, Fort Ontario Ghost Tours. It's actually operating Friday and Saturday. We're only going to be there Friday, I believe. Lending a hand.
Okay.
That's in Oswego, New York. So it's about an hour drive for us.
Very interesting.
Then as soon as we get home, I got to rush, get maybe 2-3 hours sleep, get up, drive to Auburn for the Spooktacular by the Empire State Research. And that's a mini convention they're trying to get off the ground. And we're going to go there and help them out what we can. And I know the first thing they're going to ask for is, where's Mike? That's what they asked for last year.
Everybody knows Mike.
Are you guys presenting at that event, too?
Not that I know of, but we will be there with our books and walking around looking pretty.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to look pretty?
We always look pretty.
Oh.
And can we not forget the 26th of October is the Hulbert House Haunted Sleepover.
Well, that's always
one of Steve's
time.
Favorite events of all time.
Yes, and it's a lot of fun.
Would you care to take us out with your story?
Of the young
of
lady,
you
we were in the spring room where the bed springs were. It was so happened the Alex, Pete, and myself were in the spring room. We brought one of the little dolls in the room. There was no light. There was no light switch. One of the young ladies came in, creaked the door open just a little bit, and I had my vampire teeth in, and I summarily in my bad voice that I use. Called her name, and this young lady seemed to jump about 4 feet in the air.
Well, there was no seeming. It was actually the first time in my life I seen like 2 feet off the ground, literally.
You know what cats look like when they get scared and jump? You don't see their feet moving? Well, pretty much the same effect.
In the name that you use, unfortunately or fortunately, was the same name she had.
Yes.
She picked it randomly.
Yes, that was just absolutely perfect, and she later looked at me that night and said, you know, you're not my friend no more.
Would you care to do that voice? Or?
Oh, I can do the voice. And
be a good creepy background
you know,
for everybody's night.
Alex!
So if you want to hear Steve scare the dickens out of you, come to the Hulbert House Haunted Sleepover, October 26th.
Hulbert House is always a good time.
I'm not sure
we
if
always
she
find
sold out,
something.
Though. I'm not sure if she sold out. There might be one or two rooms left.
We always find something at the Hulbert House. It's always a good time. The lady that owns and runs it is a very nice lady. and come on out. I'm sure you'll have some fun.
Then we have October 26th, 27th at Shopping Town Mall in DeWitt. I think we're there doing book signings. Again, they're trying to have a pre-Halloween paranormal event at the mall, leading up to a children's event during the week. Don't really have the details yet on that. Still waiting for Bob to send us out the information. Then November 14th, we have the Westernville Historic Society presentation. A local one. We're all over New York this year, but we finally got a local one.
It seems like, you know, we're all over.
And to give respect where respect is due, on Thursday, Josh Gates will be playing at the Capitol Theater in Rome.
Very nice, very nice.
With Joe Chin. That should be an interesting time for Josh. Again, the Capitol's another worthwhile place to help raise some money with.
Yes, it is.
Whew. And then I got three or four more that we had to say no to, but we're working on springtime events and a couple blockbuster overnight investigations with a para-celebrity whose initials may or may not be F. No.
You'll just have to stand by for further information.
Will this be a public event?
Yes, they will.
Ah,
public
great.
Events, sleepover.
Not local to us, but they'll be throughout New York.
Okay, excellent.
Some new
very
sites
good.
For us.
Oh, okay.
A couple old ones that we've always wanted to get back to with that certain someone.
Oh, now you see, I'm going to have to prod you after the show.
Oh, dear Lord, I'm about to get...
Oh, that doesn't sound good, does it?
I will post photographs on Facebook.
I know he won't because there's no photographs to be posted.
Just make sure you get an orb in it if you do it. At the time of probing. You can't miss that face. It looks like this. Click.
I think we all know that face, Pete.
So someday we hope to have Dr. David back on the air once he's done teaching his gynecology class at the local BOCES.
Well, he switched from from being a proctologist to gynecologist now?
Oh, I don't know. He's somologist. Maybe it was cosmologist?
Yeah. No, that's
topographologist?
Cosmetologist.
Cosmetologist.
Oh, he's doing hair now.
Could be.
You know we love you, Davey. We love you. Enriches out making some big business deals, and hopefully he'll have some good stories for us.
Absolutely. We're thinking of you, Rich.
I guess it's that time of night to say goodbye to all you ghosteteers.
Ghosteteers. Miska Mouska ghosteteer.
So I guess you'll have to do without us for 2 more weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, I think they can. I think they can handle it.
So on behalf of Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, I would like to thank you for listening.
Absolutely.
Please stop by our Facebook page and like us at Paranormal Investigator Radio. Or Rome Rip, or Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. We would love to have your finger point up.
That's great.
I'm Peter Leonard.
And I'm Alexander Zuski.
And I'm Steve Roscoe.
Thanking you for listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.